thought you were talking about the good morning part.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very confused.
The voice that said, now recording. Yeah. I was like, no, it doesn't count recording on Zoom. That's just backup audio in case I'm dumb and forget to hit record on OBS.
Yeah, because he said good morning, and then you were like, is it? So I was like,
I think I heard something that you guys didn't then.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like something you'd say anyway.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I am that asshole.
Yes.
You're that asshole, yeah.
So yeah, is it a good morning?
It's okay.
It's a good morning to say welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre, everybody, the show where we get to talk about anything and everything in geek and entertainment news, pop culture, geek culture, all that good stuff on the Genreverse Podcast Network and its YouTube channel, part of the LRMonline.com family. Make sure you're visiting that website every day for all of your entertainment news needs and opinions, the podcast, the great interviews. Follow at the Genreverse and at LRM underscore exclusive on Twitter. This episode is brought to you as usual by the good folks over at Grow Generation. More on them a little bit later in the episode. I am Kyle Malone at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. This is my wife Christine at Adorable Doom on Twitter, and across the country on the other side on the left coast, Manny. What's up, buddy? You can say your Twitter thing because I'm having trouble remembering.
Yeah,
because right
you just
now.
Said the left coast.
Yeah.
Well, he is out on the left coast.
I mean,
yeah, but it's weird to say because it's west.
Yeah,
but
just say the west coast.
It's a
west
it's coast. A thing. It's a thing from a line in
a
song.
Line.
Never mind.
Okay,
then.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, Manny, what's up, bud?
Awkward.
Yeah.
Everything's good, man. Just up early to do some podcasting.
Yeah, dude, and I think it's LRM underscore Emmanuel, right?
Yep, it is.
Yeah, there we go. I barely remember because I was getting confused about your Instagram, which is different,
yep, but also Batman base. 5'10".
There you go. It's kind of funny, dude. The world of Batman has kind of been in the internet for a bit ever since, you know, the announcement of the Batman trailer, the Batman movie, and the first trailers that hit last year, and then the at the first DC fandom, and then last year, and then we've been, you know, dealing with stuff from Keaton being, you know, first rumored and then confirmed to be coming back for the Flash. There's, you know, Batfleck, you know, is he, well, is he not, will he, won't he, and all of that's all of that's coming together this week because of some alleged, and we got, I guess, because, you know, nothing's official, some alleged potential Flash leaks that, you know, say that it's gonna do what we all thought it would. Flashpoint, and you're going to see the Flash go back and do a bunch of shit, potentially, allegedly, which kind of changes the directory of his primary timeline. And in the looks of things, man, it seems like, for lack of a better phrase, they're all but erasing the Snyderverse. Not that the films will have, I don't know what the multiverse rules are for DCEU. You know, I don't know if it's like pruning timelines like Loki or like what the Avengers tried to do in Endgame, where they return the stones so that way the split never happens. But dude, what do you kind of take from all the internet's mad? You're muted, by the way, Manny.
The thing about it is we all knew it was going to be Flashpoint. It's kind of a safe assumption. There's somebody to leak out that, oh, you know, it's gonna do something to the timeline. Duh, that's all Barry Allen does.
Mm-hmm.
He messes things up for better or for worse. And we've seen that in comic books and we've seen that in television. I think that the Snyderverse did have a lot of great ideas that could potentially continue on. I know that it's not bad. We just saw it happen with Spider-Man and how they brought back probably one of the best villains that Marvel has ever had on screen, which is William Dafoe's Green Goblin. and
thank God you didn't say Electro.
And you saw, but you saw how they also kind of modified him a little bit to at least make him a little bit more
fixed him.
Yeah, and I hate CGI things like that. So the lizard, Electro were kind of jarring just because of how CG they were, but nevertheless, it redeeming qualities, and it didn't. It's almost like it. We know it didn't work. We understand now, and let us tweak a little bit. So DC now has the opportunity to do the same with their characters via Flashpoint, which has always been such a great thing to have for them, because you want to explain something? Yeah, Barry Allen went back and messed it up. That is the easiest cop out way to do it. And you know, for comic book fans, we're all there for it. How many times have we got an issue number one that supposedly restarts a brand? X-Men, for example, lately. And we're just like, yeah, sure, why not? Continuity, yes, it's important, but at the same time, the most important thing is good storytelling and keeping our asses entertained. That's the primary goal. Who cares if Snyder's thing was 4 hours? So the fact is, it entertained quite a few people, not as many as people thought, because HBO Max did so much better with like Mortal Kombat and other things like that. But nevertheless, it's making money. People are talking about it. We know that the two biggest cash cows in the comic book world are Spider-Man and Batman. So what do you see? A oversaturation of Batman and Spider-Man comic books. And now we see it, an oversaturation of Batman and Spider-Man in their perspective worlds. You have three Spider-Man, we're going to have three Batman too. which tells Keaton's you.
Somewhat sort of Batfleck, and who we've already seen set photos of, at least a stuntman with the Batfleck suit on. In the Flash, and then of course Pattinson's Batman.
Yeah, Pattinson. So I mean it, and I have not seen anybody complain about it, because that's how beloved those characters are. So yeah, Flashpoint, it's gonna do something. That sounds like such a Grace Randolph thing to say.
And like, well, it's kind of funny, because I brought up her Twitter back on the first. She tweeted out some things that my time to shine also seemed to, and I don't remember what's the time. She sent hers out before his, so it looks like my time to shine might be backing up Grace. I don't know if they have similar sources or not, but we do know that she has quite often gotten some good WB calls. Her Marvel and Star Wars stuff, not as much. Not saying that she's got a 100% track record or 75% track record. I just know that she at least at some point in time has had good DC sources. She mentioned as well as my time to shine. This would be Batfleck, you know, Affleck and Cavill's last use in film. A new Justice League, Supergirl being the new primary soups, and then Keaton working with Black Canary to get Batgirl as the new Batman for the main continuity. Then of course, I think it was my time to shine brought in like, hey, there's also going to be like what do you say? Shazam will be part of the new Justice League with Flash, Supergirl, and eventually Batgirl. So yeah, man, this is like the second article I've seen us share stuff from my time to shine. So it's kind of interesting. I do want to bring up a point from yesterday's discussion with Christine to you, Manny, but after she kind of touches on something you said, which is you brought up No Way Home, and this is another attempt at some nostalgia with Keaton, but not as much nostalgia that we know of, because I wouldn't call Batfleck nostalgic yet, you know.
Yeah.
There's still some other potentials there. You're not going to see the old 70s Superman come back, you know, Reeves' soul and whatnot. But that nostalgia aspect, I mean, they're definitely reaching for that. People are going to compare to No Way Home. What do you think? Is it kind of your take on Flash using that?
I don't know, because I've said multiple times, like, with I don't even know how to answer that, because it's like one of those, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's you know, two very different worlds. The DC and Marvel cinematic universe, it's like how they do things is very different. So for me, I don't follow much of what DC does, so it's, because it's not where I'm at. It's not that it's bad, it's just, it's not me. But I'm hoping that people don't compare too much, because they are different. But I know some people are always going to try to grasp it at something, and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if they really wanted to go kind of full, you know, we love Keaton, right? That's your Batman, Manny, right? Batman. That's our Batman as well. And I don't care for most Batman, but if I'm gonna watch one, I'd watch Returns and then the original and maybe Dark Knight. But if you really wanted to get super nostalgic, you would have to kind of bring in a character of, you know, you'd have to bring in more than just Keaton and Ben Affleck's versions. You actually would need to do like a No Way Home type the deal. You would have to get what's his name from the Dark Knight trilogy, Bale. You'd have to get Bale, and that's the only way you kind of get that multi-generational thing that you had in No Way Home. So it's a comparable thing where people are reaching back for their nostalgia and whatnot, and it's funny that many brought up Batman's and Spider-Man, two biggest, you know, like superhero tentpoles, at least for the modern age. Maybe back in the day you would have said, you know, Supes and Batman, with maybe Spidey coming in third, but even before No Way Home, I'd 100% agree, at least since 2000, Batman, Spider-Man, and then Superman. Haha, take it, suck it, Supes. Dude, what do you think, is it cool going forward with this new timeline, while at the same time we have a Suicide Squad spinoff that's coming out, and we assume, since the Suicide Squad is very tied into that original DCEU, there's potential, you know, snips happening there. And then you've also got Pattinson, you know, Robert Pattinson's the Batman's got its movie and a spinoff series, Gotham, coming out, potentially future movies. Is DC going to be competing against themselves, man?
No. I mean, if you look at a comic book shelf, when you go to a comic book shop, there are sometimes two or three different Batman titles. And most people are picking up two or three Batman titles. There's two or three Spider-Man titles, and fans of Spider-Man are picking up two or three. This is one of those cases where it doesn't matter, because you want more content, you want to be entertained, and you want to just have a good time. Hell, the Pattinson one also has the Penguin spinoff that's gonna happen with Colin Farrell.
That was the Gotham spinoff.
Is it? Or I thought that was its own separate.
Oh, maybe there's a second one. I don't. There you go.
so it doesn't matter. You can have eight Batman shows and all eight of them will be popular, just because of how strong that property is. I mean, sex sells, Batman sells. That's just the way it is. If you in my years of covering comic books, if you look at the Diamond numbers back when they mattered a little bit more, when they had everybody under one roof, you saw it was all Batman books. And for a while it was Batman and Harley Quinn, and Harley Quinn is a Batman character. So they know what sells. They know what their numbers are. So that's what they're going to focus on. Well, I clearly believe that, yeah, Superman may be nostalgic, and he may be the one that started it all, really, in the 70s and 80s with the films. But at the end of the day, it's Batman who's going to bring home the bacon. So that's what they're going to focus on.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I didn't think about it that way. Because it's like with film, you know, you never know if it's going to be different. Because I know with comic books, there's like a lot to, you know, like you just look and there's a lot of every little thing and multiples, like you said, like, you know, a few different Batman comic, you know, coming out. And so it's like, with that, you know, that's a good point. And for me, like hearing this, it was just kind of like feeling like it, like a dust storm, and you just kind of have to wait for it to settle to see where everything is. It's like how I felt about it a little bit. Some may be really happy about all this. Some may be, you know, mad. I don't know, but it's kind of like, this is fresh news, needs to be digested a little bit, but because I didn't think about that yesterday when we were talking about that. So I think you're right.
Well, the only like kind of interesting point to all this is the point of Batman Sells is something we said yesterday and 100% true, which is why I think they kind of have a little bit of faith in the ability to see Batgirl become a focus, but they seem to know that they better keep a dude in the bat suit at the same time, but he's going to be in this side universe. And like I said, I don't know how the in movie universal travel rules or what changes when where, but for Superman, on the other hand, it seems like they really don't have any, they don't really seem to have a lot of faith in that character being the mainstay anymore. There doesn't seem to be a smooth transition. If these alleged, you know, story points are true, we're just going to see Supergirl take over. And I, you know, it is what it is. I don't know the character, so I can't, you know, oh, I'm mad. I don't care for Superman one way or the other. So that this character, you know, could end up being great. Yeah, and, I think so too. But it is kind of interesting that they're just, poof, soup's gone, allegedly. But Batman, we're going to have a nice smooth transition. We're going to keep a dude in the bat suit. And my only, you know, point on competing it with themselves, but like you pointed out, you know, you don't have to not watch both, but I am going to be interested once kind of Keaton steps aside, how the new mainline bat family will do versus, say, the Robert Pattinson stuff. Cause it's like whenever you go to a comic book shop, you definitely know some titles are keeping other titles afloat by selling a hell of a lot more of these. So that way you can, get the, you know, 25,000, 30,000 that do read this, but someone's got to make 100,000 so you can make that 25,000, you know, books still. I don't know. Well, what do you think about that, man? Soup's kind of getting a not necessarily a smooth transition. Just next.
I think they have a better plan for him than what is being said on the internet. It's ludicrous to just think that it's just a cold cut. I wouldn't be surprised if down the line they have them work together for just a little bit. Even if that will be a transition, I am excited to see this version of Supergirl. And we'll see. I mean, right. And the funny thing is, the Superman on CW is doing very, very well. It's actually pretty good.
I've heard, but Superman and Lois is well liked.
Well, the thing is, when you concentrate on the family aspect of Superman, he's fantastic. We saw that in Rebirth, when they really focused on the relationship between Jonathan, Lois, and then their other son, Jonathan, also.
I was going to say something I'd asked Jeff Johns in 2009 about resetting Superman right back to square one after that big arc in the mid 2000s with like Lois, his kid, and all that. And he was like, I can't even remember what he said, but I was like, are you guys just like scared to change the character? And he's like, well, Superman's like this certain specific thing, the certain specific way, and it has to be that way, and nobody wants Superman tied down. Or I think that was the Spider-Man line from Joey Q, fuck him too. But it was kind of funny because they did do a whole bunch of like family big changes, kind of change the focus back in the 2000s, and then they just stepped back from that.
Yeah, they let Bendis just like completely screw the character over for a minute.
Fuck that guy too. Yeah. Although the Century was pretty cool story.
There's some things he's really good at, and Superman not one of them. He's the one. He's the creator of Miles Morales. He does really well with kind of those younger type of characters. Heck, I really liked his Wonder Twins. That was him, right? I think it was. He's done a couple of things that have just turned out really, really well. But you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I highly doubt that that's just where they're just gonna leave off Superman. I'm not gonna hold my breath and especially because Grace Randolph is like screaming it. I'm like, yeah, you can just shut up. Like,
really. And she says it's only gonna be like TV footage of Cavill in the movie.
Well, I mean, whatever it is for now, like, I get it, but I'm sure there's still one or two other Superman projects along the way. But
there is. We know there's the one Abrams is producing with is Ta-Nehisi Coates still on that one? Was that him? I believe so. So and then I think there's even an additional one. Maybe it's a streaming series or something. I can't remember, but there is some other soup stuff that's been both rumored and at least officially acknowledged.
So there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing I appreciate though about Warner Brothers in DC is that they swing for the fences and they are not afraid of failure. Do they want to fail? Absolutely not. But if there's one thing I'm super annoyed sometimes by Marvel is how predictable most of the time their movies are and how just cookie cutter. I know exactly what I'm going to get going in, which isn't bad. So, you know, hey, it's fun. But
look at the Eternals when they deviated from the recipe, man. That is my least. I haven't even finished it all.
That is a horrible movie. Unfortunately.
Yeah. The thing with Marvel is, like, you know, they kind of had this plan and it was, you know, really tight and it kind of feels plan. Yeah, and it's kind of now feeling like it's like unraveling, where DC kind of had this like everywhere kind of feeling to it, where it's like, yeah, we're not gonna create the straight line and go with it, we're just gonna, you know, do whatever we want. So it did have that at the time, you know. When so it's like a few years back, I'm looking at it, I'm like, what's DC doing? But then it's like you just said, you know, Marvel being predictable, you know, there has been a little less interest in my head for some projects, you know, where it's just kind of like, I'm not as excited as I was. You know, you've got this, it's like someone with like a strict schedule every single day. It's like, okay, yeah, this is a little, you know, kind of, can you get a little fresh, please? So, I mean, both have their pros and cons, but yeah, so it's kind of like, it's looking more where DC feels, you know, fresh, and Marvel doesn't have that.
Yeah, it just seems like at times, well, also Warner Bros. Has gone through management changes so much in the past, you know, years.
Ownership yeah. changes even.
And they're changing again.
Like Discovery Channel's in charge of them.
So, hey, somebody had said on Twitter, I want a Hawkman series where he visits ancient ruins and put that on the History Channel or Discovery. I was like, you know what? That'd be fun.
That is funny.
Aliens with Hawkman.
Oh, no. That Yeah, maybe. Hosted by Martian Manhunter.
Like a satire, like take all the theories and be like, this is where the lanterns did it. This is where Darkseid was doing shit. Yeah, I'd be down with like shorts, like little 5 minute shorts. I'd love something like that.
It's just nice for them to not really care about it. Well, because like Hawkeye, for example, was fine at best for me, just because. I don't get me wrong, Hayley Steinfeld was great. I thought she was amazing. I still love Yelena, Florence as Yelena, but like she almost seemed like just they toned her down so much, and it was like she's just gonna be that funny version of her that I kind of lost respect of her as a competitor, as a assassin, and then the same thing what they did with the Kingpin. I understand what they were doing, but if you're gonna do a main villain, I understand you want to reveal, but you probably needed a little bit more context there, a little bit, just let it simmer a little bit more.
Yeah, it was weak. as well.
Yeah.
So by the end of it, it was just kind of like, it was kind of meh. One of the best ones they did was just Loki, I think, just because of the implications to the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And just it kept you guessing, it kept you on your toes, and just Tom Hiddleworth is just so great, obviously.
Hiddleston,
thank you.
I mean, it is British, so worth stone, you know, same thing.
So and they kind of, it seems like they took a little bit more risk with that, but overall, like, you just kind of know what you're gonna get. And then sympathetic villains are just getting old. Like,
yeah, Kyle has said that so many times.
We need an antagonist to not root for, your, which I think was why it was so fresh to kind of see the Green Goblin kill somebody again.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, they fixed him. But I mean, that wasn't, the villain was his other persona, I guess. So you can say that it was fine.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with redemption, but when you do it every movie, like, what do we have left?
It's like a watered down villain.
And Trump's not president anymore, so where's our villains at, guys?
We need our Lex Luthers. We need, you know, you need your kingpins. You need those characters that really help your characters go through that hero's journey, and be bigger than they ever thought they could be. So DC, they'll give you a whole villain movie. It's like, this is the Joker. Mm-hmm. And he throughout the whole movie, does he redeem himself? Nope. He becomes, you know, who he's going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they try a little to at least show, hey, mental illness is a thing, but it's like, yeah, but dude is still fucked up. And I don't mean medically. I mean, like, he's bad, and it is what it is, and people had issues. I loved how people tried to tie so much bullcrap to that movie, and none of it stuck. It was a predictable film. It was entertaining enough, but you were just kind of like, yeah, it's all leading up to what we already know is going to happen in the theater room, and seeing it executed was nice. But I tell you what I would love to see is this word from our sponsors, Grow Generation,
where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation is your one-stop shop for hydroponic grow supplies, product systems, and more. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
All right. Thank you so much, Grow Generation, for sponsoring the episode. Link down below. And yeah, the only other things I really kind of wanted to touch on, bring up, is a couple characters that aren't really mentioned. Someone tweeted at My Time to Shine, you know, about Wonder Woman, and we've already seen they're willing to basically ignore, like, even the first Wonder Woman movie, essentially. So they'll put her in whatever it seems like she'll stick around. But Aquaman's got another movie coming out, and the way we understand things is his first movie takes place after Justice League. This movie, of course, will take place after that. So you can kind of have him do whatever, and I don't really know if the Flash would even need to go back and do something to Aquaman's timeline at all. What do you think about, Manny, these two characters just kind of trudging along? Do you even think DC's going to explain anything, or are they just going to be like, watch the movies, fuckers?
Aquaman's easy. He was underwater. Done. He had no idea what was going on. He was like, I was watching from afar. And then as for Wonder Woman, I don't know. You can really do whatever you want with her, and as long as it's Gal Gadot as a character, I don't think anyone cares. Was the last movie good? Absolutely not.
Garbage.
And it was. I get so upset at that. I get so upset at that film because of how good the first one was, and what we got. And I was like, I was kind of left looking dumb, you know, after being so excited for 1984. So it does. I don't really think it matters, because she's so beloved as Wonder Woman now that is what it is. And you just put her in as the role, and she's accepted, and you can use the timeline to take it back to where 1984 doesn't happen, and mm-hmm. and you just have kind of some if you retcon some of the older stuff, and it'd be interesting how much of the Snyderverse you want to put in it, because maybe you still want to do a Deathstroke thing or down the line with Magliano.
Mangiello. I can never pronounce his name, so I've just taken to calling him Mangiello.
You have issues.
Hey, he's a Pens fan, so I'm cool with Joe Mangiello.
He's also one of the biggest D&D players out there. Really? For Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, he's a big old nerd, dude.
Well, I know he's into geeky stuff, but mm-hmm. I didn't know he was like known in D&D. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
So, it's fine. And it's Aquaman is kind of the interesting one, because we'll see how it does with the new film.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes James Wan, he likes to try things. Like Malignant, he was trying things.
Yeah.
And it was okay for what it was, but it just wasn't very good. But that's okay, because, you know, I respect directors that know that they can make a good movie, but kind of swing for the fences. Again, that's kind of why I'm okay with DC, because they don't have the quote unquote playbook that that Marvel does, and they don't even have a playbook. They have a notepad. And sometimes
they got these things.
Yeah, and then they go, you know what I was thinking? I'm thinking we should make a Shazam movie. And it's like, okay. And then it works. And then some things don't work. So it's fine.
Jared Leto's Joker.
Yeah, that didn't work.
No, it did not.
So I just want to see the underwater world that they create, and mm-hmm. and see if that has kind of legs, like staying power. And if not, you don't have to make another Aquaman movie. You just keep him in the group if you
Justice
want.
League show up in someone else's thing, you know.
I will say I am upset that they canceled that movie that they were going to do.
Oh, the trench
one, because how they came out and said, Wands came out and said that was actually a Black Manta project, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh.
I didn't hear that part, but damn.
Yeah, it was actually a Black Manta project that they were working on with, I guess that included the trench, but I think it's Yahya Mateen,
Abdul Mateen the third.
His name is too long. You know what I'm talking about? Candyman. he was great as Black Manta, and I wanted to see more of it, and this would have been a great opportunity, but. You know, they can bring him. They could honestly do whatever they want, as we can see now. And people are just gonna be like, "Oh yeah, cool. That's gonna be fun." And yeah, it is what it is.
So I know we haven't seen it yet, Christine, but I have a pitch for Justice League, well, whatever you want to end up calling the next film, right? No, hold on. Hear me out. You liked Shazam, right?
Yes.
Okay. You like Dwayne the Rock Johnson, right?
Yes.
We haven't seen Black Adam, but we were interested in it just because of those two facts, right?
Yes.
Justice League versus Black Adam.
Yeah.
The new Justice League. You got a bunch of younger Batgirl donning the Bat logo, Supergirl being there with the capes, and well, they all wear capes, idiots, no capes. I love Incredibles. This is a great movie. And also they did that thing in Spider-Verse where he's trying to wear a cape.
Yeah, that was anyways, awesome.
And you know, you've got the Flash and then young Billy Batson. What do you think about that?
I'm cool with it. Okay.
Manny, would you be down with something like that, or?
Yeah, I mean, I'd find myself for the Rock.
Well, yeah, I would too. Beat the fuck out of those kids, dude. But no, is Black Adam potentially a big enough threat to take on a, I don't want to call them young Justice League because of the young Justice books, but a younger Justice League, a new formed Justice League.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Why he's been around for decades, obviously, and he's just as powerful, if not more powerful, than Shazam. He doesn't have the kid mentality. So you can have a, I don't care how powerful Shazam is. The thing is, the brains are bigger than LeBron when it comes to Black Adam. Not to mention how pissed off he's going to be. So, yeah. I can. that would be a great movie. Oh, you know, because The Rock sells just as big as Batman. Because if you look at Sony, their biggest movie before Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Previous Bond movie, I think.
Jumanji.
Was it?
Yeah, for the okay. December release, it was Jumanji, and it, why? Because it had The Rock and Kevin Hart. Maybe you give Kevin Hart a part in there too. I don't know who he'd play exactly, but maybe he plays Batmite, or he plays Mick Pitalix, and him.
Let's who would be the just like perfect? I'm trying to think of a Teen Titans Go or Teen Titans villain that would just be hilarious for Kevin Hart to play. And I like the goofy version of Dr. Light that they do in Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
But I know they made Dr. Light a female in comics recently, so they'd probably do that. But I don't know. No. I'll tell you. Someone that they need to put on somewhere to see live action. I haven't seen yet, and that's Mad Mod. Just because, fuck it, why not? Teen Titans cartoon character is the only version I know. So
you know, if it's gonna be funny, just have Kevin Hart play Kite Man.
Okay, Condiment Hell Man. Yeah. What about Crazy Quilt? Oh yeah,
deep cut there. Have him play Condiment King. Condiment King.
Condiment King, not Condiment Man. Yeah, Condiment King
is one of my favorite, just all random villains. I love the idea of somebody with ketchup and mustard as their weapons.
Super villain of Pocket Sand.
Oh, God.
super villain Pocket Sand. Oh, I accidentally hit the transition button as I was actually trying to get over to our Chrome side-by-side so I could go ahead and wrap up the show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. Manny, it's been great having you back on. You guys can catch Manny, of course, on the LRM Online YouTube channel, where he's got all of his interviews and the rest of the interview team. Zoom in person, red carpet. We've got it all between Manny Gig and Nancy. You can also find Manny doing the No Mercy podcast with us, where we're covering Cobra Kai, and that'll be out either today or tomorrow for you guys. Doing the first three episodes. Next week we'll review three more, and then we'll wrap up the week following. And then, make sure you guys are checking out the Genreverse YouTube channel, brand new. All of our podcasts are now here exclusively. Still part of the LRM family, but hit the red subscribe button. Check out all the great shows like the Daily Cup of John you're watching right now, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, Animeversal Reviews, Breaking Geek Radio, all sorts of really good things there. And the Podcast Network, of course, is available wherever you get your podcast from: Spotify, Google, Apple, all that good stuff. Audio format, nice and easy for you guys to consume. I already mentioned the social media, so yeah, that does it. Anyone else got anything they want to say?
No, I'm good.
Manny?
Eat your veggies,
spay and neuter your pets, wear a seatbelt and a helmet. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Take care. Bye.